She told us about her grandfather witnessing a 14-year-old girl being attacked by a shark in South Africa back in 1957.
He basically fought it. He punched it, which he said it was like punching leather. He grabbed onto its tail and it actually flipped him into the air with the force of his tail. And eventually he ended up punching it on the nose and it let go and swam away.
Now, he was fighting to protect a little girl, and we managed to track that little girl down. Her name was Julia Paintings. She was the girl who was attacked 55 years ago. So we brought Tan on again with Julia, who began by telling me what happened that day.
I was 14 then, and there'd been a week. In a week, there'd been three attacks. So they had a few precautions in where you were only allowed to be knee-deep and the water came up to your hips, you know, and the colour costume. And they banned bathing between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and it had to be clear sea, and that was all along the south coast. And then mine just happened completely out of the blue. It was at about 12:45, and Paul, Tan's grandfather and I, we were standing together because Paul and my uncle were very good friends. And I suddenly saw this shadow coming in the water, and at first I thought it was somebody playing the fool. So I ignored it, not realizing that nobody was allowed out there, you know. And then next minute I just saw these two fins, and that's when I thought I ran screaming. But Paul and there was another observer on top of the flats, and both of them said the shark was actually going into someone else to attack someone else. And I just stepped out into its path. And the next thing I knew was I was being lashed around like a piece of tacky because it was so strong. And I heard a grunting, like almost like a pig grunt. And then I thought, oh, this is it, you know, girl killed on Margate Beach. And if I do live, I've got to, everybody's lost a limb.
And those thoughts were actually going through your mind in those split nanoseconds, were they?
Yes. And then
Did you see it?
I didn't actually see, other than seeing the fins. I was just being lashed around because what it must have done, it must have knocked me down with its body on my leg. Because when they were carrying me out, I couldn't feel my leg, my left leg or my left arm. And it was only when they put me on the beach that I could feel the heel in the sand.
And you could.
And then I realised it was just my arm.
Could you feel the shark biting you?
No, that I don't remember. I just remember being lashed around. You know, like you get a piece of old tacky and you're just lashing it, shaking the dust out of it really hard, you know.
Now, what role did Tan's grandfather play?
He actually. When he said all I did was scream, Paul, it's a shark. And then he said he thought I was one of his children. And he went to try and pull me away, you know, as Tan said, grabbed it by its tail and it flung him off. And then he just sort of beating it around and bashed it on the nose. And it let me go for a split second. And then he picked me up and threw me towards the beach, away from where the blood was, where the shark come straight back, you see.
It's incredible. So what Paul, Tan's grandfather, was doing he was beating the shark. He was fighting
literally
with the shark.
Yes, with his fists. He was amazing. Because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him.
What's it mean to you, Tan, when you hear that?
I'm very proud. It every time I hear the story, I feel more and more proud about it. It really is truly amazing. And actually, I was talking to my mum this morning about it, and she was reminding me that I think, Julia, I don't know if you remember this, but my grandfather had one of his children in the water with him, and apparently he picked her up. She was young. She was a baby. And he picked her up, and he literally threw her onto the beach out of harm's way and then went to Julia's aid. And my mum was also telling me about how the water was just red. The waves were just red from blood. There was just so much blood everywhere. She said it was incredible.
What an amazing story.
Yeah, it's a miracle I was here. Actually, there were a lot of miracles that happened that day because there was a doctor on the beach who came and found the main artery. And there was a guy working on the telephone lines who phoned for the ambulance and got the hospital, really, which was about 20 minutes away.
And your arm had been bitten off, is that right?
Clean off, yes. I've got just about, you can say, about 2 inches of the actual arm bone, but that's all. But I was actually mauled because I got bites all over my body and it ripped my costume clean off. In those days I had a costume with like 3 layers of frills on the hips. So when I was lying on the beach, I was in the nude.
I'm sure that's the last thing you were worried about, Julie, because you'd lost a limb.
Yes.
And did you realise at that time, or were you in such a state of shock that you didn't realise you'd lost your arm when you got to the beach?
No, I actually realised I had. As I said, when I came out, I thought I'd lost my leg. And my leg was like, you know when you skin your knee? The whole of the side of my leg was like that, and it was numb. And I could feel the heel in the sand. And a few days afterwards, the feeling started to come back and they had to massage my leg because it was so stiff and sore, you know, being bashed around. But I was very, very lucky.
And tell me this, you then kept in touch with the family.
Oh, we've always been in touch.
It's been about 55 years now, hasn't it?
Yes, that's right. No, I know we've always been. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Tan's brother, grandfather. I wouldn't. And that's why I'm so pleased the Queen gave him the George Medal, because it's such a good memory for them.
And it was that final punch in the nose that got the shark to release you?
It must have been, yes. Because Paul says that it came back to the area, because apparently my uncle, he was just going out of the water when he heard the screaming, and he looked back and he says all he could see was the shark, Paul, and blood. He never realised, and it was only Paul shouting him, it's Julia, after she'd just thrown her in front of you, you know. Because he just picked me up and threw me towards the beach as well to get me away.
And this story, Tan, must be a central story in your family that's going to pass down the generations now.
Yes, it definitely will get passed down the generations. As I said, my boys both have books which have all the cuttings from the story in the books, and I often sit with my boys and we go through it and we read it, and it's a big part of their lives. And I take them to the Natal Sharks Board in Durban. When we go and visit Durban, I take them to the Natal Sharks Board, and the whole story is up there for them to see. They like going back and reading that as well. So we definitely keep it alive within our family.
How do you both feel about sharks now, you firsthand?
Well, it's interesting because I was having this conversation. I was saying to him, the amazing thing is that it never put any of our family off going into the sea. I then grew up in Durban from the age of 10.
I'm going to tell you something, I'm only listening to the story and I wouldn't go into the sea after listening to you two.
The amazing thing is that we all became...
You just take your precautions.
Yeah, and I think...
How can you take a precaution against a shark?
I think, you know, it is so much a part of our lives in South Africa, and I can remember spending days on the beach and the helicopters go up and down checking for sharks, and then there would be a signal and the lifesavers would come and call you out because they'd obviously spotted a shark. And so we would all get out the water and we'd sit on the beach and we'd be impatient and we'd be sat there for half an hour. And then you saw the lifesavers walk away and you'd be straight back in the water for another couple of hours. It never, ever put any of us off the surf, which is quite amazing.
And for you, Julie, it must have put you off.
No, I've been into the sea a few times. I must admit, you know, I only feel happy if there's the shark nets, but now I hate the shark nets because of what they are catching, you know. Mm-hmm. And personally, I actually feel I'm very, very anti the killing of the sharks. I really am, because they are so much part of the ocean. And I just feel that people have got to start respecting the wildlife and what's in the ocean, you know, instead of trying to kill them off.
There is a debate now in South Africa, isn't there, Julia, as to whether they are going to continue with the shark nets.
Because that's right.
It is killing the shark population.
And the dolphins as well.
Yeah, and that really is not the intended use of them.
Just so, finally, Julia, it must give you a particular perspective in life when you've come so close to death, when you've faced death like that at such a young age.
You know, it actually made me a better person because life became a challenge after that. You know, you with two hands, you can do everything. And then suddenly I only had one. So it became a challenge in life, and I've managed to overcome a lot. You know, I can live on my own. I can knit, I can sew, I can do my own hair and curl it and you name it. You know, it did me a lot of good. It made me open my eyes to life.
It's a brilliant life story. It really, really is. It's an intriguing story.
One more thing, the ironical thing was, is my grandfather ended up dying of a heart attack running on the beach.
In Durban.
He was 60.
Yeah, he was. He was 60. But we just all felt that he couldn't have gone in a better place. It was the place where he loved and where he had become a hero. So it was a fitting end to his life.
Well, Tan and Julia, thank you so much for sharing the story with each other once again and with us. Thank you very much indeed.